that Saul came after him into the wilderness. And David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul was come in very deed. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the captain of his host, Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, "Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp?" And Abishai said, "I will go down with thee." So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, "God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day." Now this happened one time before. He had opportunity to kill him, but he wouldn't do it. If you remember, he cut off the hem of his garment or whatever, and then his heart smote him afterwards. But it says here, "God's delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear even to the earth at once. I will not smite him the second time." And David said to Abishai, "Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" David said furthermore, "As the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed." That's a whole nother message right there. Amen. But you know, God takes care of things. "Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." Amen. He does a whole lot better job than what we do when we try to get back at people. Amen. So it says, "But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go." So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they got them away, and no man saw it or knew it, neither awaked, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. Then David went over to the other side and stood on the top of the hill afar off, a great space being between them. And David cried to the people and to Abner the son of Ner, saying, "Answerest thou not, Abner?" Then Abner answered and said, "Who art thou that criest to the king?" David said to Abner, "Art not thou a valiant man? And who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king thy lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, ye are worthy to die, because ye have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is, and the cruse of water that was at his bolster." And Saul knew David's voice and said, "Is this thy voice, my son David?" And David said, "It is my voice, my lord, O king." And he said, "Wherefore doth my lord thus pursue after his servant? For what have I done? Or what evil is in mine hand? Now therefore, I pray thee, let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord have stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord. For they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, 'Go serve other gods.' Now therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord. For the king of Israel has come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains." Then said Saul, "I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool, and have erred exceedingly." And David had answered and said, "Behold the king's spear, and let one of the young men come over and fetch it. The Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered thee into my hand today, but I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation." Then Saul said to David, "Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also shalt still prevail." So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. Now, it's a long story that I read to you there, but I wanted to do it for the purpose of what I'm about to tell you here. It seems like that story ended up good. And it seems like everything was fine, because God intervened and God caused David's life to be spared when Saul was trying to kill him. But we see something in the next chapter that's very disturbing. In the very first verse of the next chapter, it says, "And David said in his heart, 'I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand.'" I mean, what in the world was David thinking here? David says, "You know what? I'm going to die one day here. Saul's going to kill me. There's nothing better for me than that I should just speedily escape into the land of the Philistines." I mean, the enemy. What in the world's going on in his mind here? Well, I tell you what's going on. What he was thinking was the same thing that you and I do when we go through times of great trial or lengthy hardships. And we begin to think, you know what? This isn't working out. Not working out the way I thought it was going to work out. Not working out the way I thought God was going to work it out. We begin to ask, God, where are you? God, why is this happening? Where are you at? I thought you were, I love you. I'm trying to serve you. Where are you at? Why are these things going on? And then he came to the conclusion, I better just try to follow my own heart and listen to what my heart's telling me. Oh my goodness. That's a very dangerous place for a child of God to get to. Psalm 27 verse 1, again, 1 Samuel 27 verse 1 says, and David said in his heart. What I want to preach about for just a few minutes here, 30 minutes or so, is this simple little thought. What happens when you begin listening to your own heart? It's not a good thing. People tell you all the time, man, what is your heart telling you? What is your heart? Be careful, be careful, be careful. David made some really poor choices here because he followed his own heart. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then I'll give you a few thoughts here. Lord, I thank you for the privilege to be able to be here tonight, and Lord, this church, and you know I love these people, I love their church and their preacher, and God, it's always good to be back. But Father, I pray more than that, that you'd be able to use me as your servant, Lord, to just help your people, to be an encouragement to them. Lord, to challenge them maybe where they need to be challenged, but Lord, to stir their heart, to give them something that will help them as they go forward in their life for you, Lord. That we would stay true to your word and that we would be careful about this thing about following our own heart. Lord, would you please teach us and instruct us tonight? We'll be careful to give you the glory for it, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I want to quote some verses to you. Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25 both say, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Be careful what you think in your heart is right. Be careful of what you're following. Remember, the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The heart of man, the heart of who we are, this old man, the old nature, the heart of us, it's very wicked. It's very deceitful. Look over, if you would, in Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs 28. And look at this verse. You ought to underline this in your Bible if it's not underlined in your Bible. This is what God says. This is, I'm quoting to you scripture. I'm not saying what Brother Martin's saying. This is what God says. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 26, it says this, he that trusteth in his own heart is a what? A fool. God says that. That's not what man says. A man says, listen to your heart. God says, whoa, wait a minute. You trust in your own heart? You're a fool for doing that. And don't follow your own heart. Don't follow the inward man of who we are. The heart of man has been a problem since the beginning of time. Yeah. Amen. Let's look back in Genesis chapter 6 real quick. This is just foundation things as we get started. And this is a simple message, and I promise you, you all know me well enough to know I'm a simple preacher. And it's not going to be deep, but it's going to hopefully be something that will challenge you. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 5, it says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. From the very beginning, it's been the heart that's caused us to, the heart of man that's caused us to do the wicked things that we do, the evil things that we do. So why in the world would we want to listen to the heart of who we are? It goes on, it tells us in Genesis chapter 17, look over there. Every time, I did a little study on this, every time you see these people saying that they said in their heart, it's a dangerous thing. I mean, it's not good that comes out of it. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 17 says this. It says, and then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. This is when God said they were going to have a child, him and Sarah, and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? What are you saying? Hey, it caused Abraham, listening to his own heart, caused him to laugh at what God was telling him he was going to do. Man, God was about to perform a miracle through his life, and he laughed at him because that's what his heart told him. Boy, it's a dangerous thing to listen to our heart. Genesis chapter 27, we know the story of Esau and Jacob and Esau. But notice what it says here, chapter 27. And when Esau, of course, Esau sold the birthright and lost the blessing in it too. And he got upset because of it. He was very frustrated, very upset. But we see here, in it says this in chapter 27 and verse number 41. Here's the conclusion of it. It says, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I slay my brother Jacob. Wow. That came from the heart. Oh, I need to listen. I need to just listen to my heart. Don't be a fool. Don't be a fool. Don't listen to what your heart said. You say, well, Brother Martin, what are we supposed to follow? This book that's in your lap right here. Amen. We're supposed to follow the truth of what God's word says and the men that God places in our life. You say, well, wait a minute. What about from the time I get saved? Hey, if you are walking in the Spirit, you'll know when God's speaking to your heart and you're listening to God's heart and not your own heart. Amen. What David wasn't listening to the heart of God because God had already anointed him to be the king. He was listening to his own heart. And it's a very dangerous thing for all of us. We could look at other passages about Jeroboam said in his heart. This is what caused the problems between the northern and the southern kingdoms. Jeroboam thought in his heart that the southern kingdom was going to come and take over because they were divided. And of course, Jerusalem was the city where the Lord was. And so they built altars and did foolish things because they said in their heart, we got to do these things. What about in the book of Esther, it says that Haman thought in his heart. Boy, that got Haman in a whole lot of trouble. We could look over in Psalm 10, if you would. Psalm 10. I'm just trying to get you to see. Be careful about listening to your own heart. Psalm 10 says this in verse number 6. This is talking about the fool. This psalm is about the fool. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved. For I shall never be in adversity. Oh, really? How about down to verse number 11? He hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face, he'll never see it. Whoa, be careful. What does it say down in verse 13? Wherefore doth the wicked condemn God? He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. I mean, the wicked people, they mock and make a mockery of God. And they listen to their own heart and they follow their own heart. Hey, what about Psalm 14 and verse 1, Psalm 53 and verse 1? The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Amen. What are you saying? Don't listen to your heart. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, look over there. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. This is the wisest man that ever lived, but he did some very foolish things. Even though he was the wisest man that ever lived, he listened to his heart a lot. And it got him in a whole lot of trouble. It says in chapter 2 of Ecclesiastes, I said in mine heart, go to now. Notice how it started. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. He said, I followed down this pathway because I said in my heart, you know what? I might as well just enjoy some mirth. I might as well enjoy some things. And he said, I found out this is all vanity. Says, I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? Verse 3, I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom. He said, I wanted in my heart to hold on to the things of God, but I wanted the things of the world too, man. I wanted the wine. I wanted those things for me also. And notice what it says, and to lay hold on folly, that word means foolishness. I wanted to get involved in some foolishness too. Hey, that was his heart that was telling him that. That was not the heart of God. That was not the wisdom of God that was telling him that. He said, till I might see what was the good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. He said in verse 4, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. Look at all those personal pronouns there. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. And I had great possessions of great and small cattle. I mean, you can follow this thing all the way down and you look at, but you know what it comes down to? In verse number 17, when he came to the conclusion of following his own heart and going his own way, he says, therefore, I hated life. What are you saying, Brother Martin? I'm saying when you begin a pathway to listen to what your heart's telling you to do and not what God's telling you to do, not what the Word of God, not what the counselors of God, and not what the Spirit of God that lives in you is telling you to do, you're headed down a pathway of destruction, a pathway where you'll end up hating life too. Sad to say,
yes, sir.
I've known many people who I thought were very good Christians. I've known preachers who in the end took their own life. They're not here today. They're dead because they committed suicide. Why in the world would they do that? Because they began a pattern to follow their own heart. And the end of following your own heart is very deceitful. It's very destructive.
Yes,
sir. So I want to give you just four simple little things here that we do when we begin to listen to and follow our own heart. Like I said, this is, you know, I'm not a deep preacher, so you'll probably be able to remember these without even writing them down. The first one is simply this. When we begin listening to our own heart, we stop listening to God.
Yeah.
We just stop listening to God.
Right.
David, God had already encouraged David and told him that he was the king, he was going to be the king, and he'd already anointed him, but he stopped listening to God when it came down to this pressure that came upon him. And listen, I'm not trying to make light of it. Saul sought after, by the way, this was the last time, you check it out, this was the last time that Saul did seek after him. And Saul told him at the end there, I'll not seek after you anymore. He didn't after that. That was the seventh time that he sought after him to kill him. And he didn't seek after him. But David was so overwhelmed by all the attempts and everything, he began to falter a bit in his faith, and he began to listen to his own heart, and he stopped listening to God. Think about other people in the Bible that did the same thing. Think about Jonah. Jonah was a preacher, a man of God. And God was just calling on him, telling him to go do what he'd called him to do in a place that he was supposed to go to Nineveh, to preach to the Ninevites. And what happened was he got so frustrated and upset, go to Nineveh. No, he found him a ship going to Tarshish. Why? Because he didn't want to listen to God anymore. Amen. God's asking me to do something. God's challenging me with something that I don't like. So I'm just going to listen to what my heart tells me. Where did that get him? Thrown overboard, swallowed by a whale, living in the belly of a whale. God spared his life to allow him to live in the belly of that whale. I can't fathom that. Yeah. And then got regurgitated and then given another chance. And Jonah still never really got right with God. What a shame. What are you saying? Be careful about listening to your own heart. It's going to lead you down a pathway where you're going to not listen to the Lord anymore. How about Elijah? Think about Elijah. Elijah followed a pathway that he began to listen to his own heart. Man, when he began to complain to God, I'm the only one left. God was trying to tell him, no, wait a minute, you're not the only one left. I've reserved 7,000. They haven't bowed the knee to Baal. You're not the only one, Elijah. But boy, he was so consumed in his heart and what he was thinking and everything that he wasn't listening to God. I read this passage in the college today. And think about this. When God began to try to speak to him, and God, you know, he brought in the earthquake and he brought in the strong wind and everything. It said God wasn't in all that. But then a still small voice. And when that still small voice came, the very next thing it says is that he wrapped his face in his mantle. He covered his head like, God, I don't want to hear that. God was trying to speak to him to get him straightened out. But he was following his own heart. He wasn't going to listen to what God said. Where'd that get Elijah? I believe taken home prematurely. I think the Lord was going to do a whole lot. Now listen, Elijah, greater man of God than any of us that are here today. But we can learn from his mistakes today.
Yeah.
We can learn from the mistakes that he made, listening to his own heart, following his own way. You know, I was in a meeting in Arkansas about 2 years ago now. And I was preaching a revival meeting. And on Monday of the revival meeting, there was a guy there who had a roofing business, and he had some workers. He told me on Sunday, he said, I'm paying my workers. We're breaking early, and I'm paying them to come to the revival meeting. I want them to be there. And he did, and they showed up. And I remember that first night, there was a young man sitting over on this side about three or four rows back. And And he ended up, and I could see he was under conviction, and he was there with his girlfriend, and they were living together and all that, and he fell under conviction. Man, I gave the invitation, and he came forward, and he trusted Christ as a Savior on Monday night. And man, he was excited, and he came back on Tuesday night, Wednesday night. His girlfriend was not as excited. I could tell she wasn't as happy about it, and the funny thing is she gave the testimony that she was saved, but she wasn't excited about him getting saved. And so we went through the week. They showed up every night. And then on the revival ended on Friday night. On Saturday, we were going to go knock some doors and make some visits. And I told the youth pastor, why don't we go visit this guy's name was James and his girlfriend's name was Lakin. I said, why don't we go visit James and Lakin and just, you know, I really want to pin her down a little bit more about her salvation. He said, sure. So we went over there. And man, I'm telling you, we got there to this place and it was terrible. The conditions that they were living in. They were living in an old pull-behind trailer that was so dilapidated that sides were falling off of it. The bottom was coming out from underneath it. I went up and knocked on the door, and when I knocked on the door, Lakin, the girl, came to the door. She opened the door, and it's obvious they were still sleeping. She had a blanket wrapped around her. She opened the door, and when she saw me, she said, "Oh, preacher, I'm sorry. Hold on a minute." She shut the door. She went back in, and she threw a robe on or whatever, and she came back to the door. She said, "Preacher, I'm sorry." She said, "You know, we just, you can come in if you want to." And I said, "That's okay. I don't care what things look like. We just came to visit you. Want to help you?" And she said, "Well, okay." She said, "Well, come on in." We came in, and she kept, I'm sorry. James was there, and James, "Man, preacher, it's good to see you. It's good to..." So we got talking. I didn't say anything to him about anything. I just told him I want to come. I wanted to encourage you, and I wanted to encourage James. But I can say, and James said this to me right away. He said, "Brother Martin, I want to let you know something." He said, "We just talked last night," and he said, I know what we're doing right here ain't right. I know this living together is not right, and I know we need to get this thing settled and get it right." Well, who told him that? There's the Holy Spirit that told him that. Amen. So I turned to Lakin and I said, "Lakin, I got to ask you something. You told me that you were saved, but you didn't give me a very clear testimony." I said, "Would you tell me about your salvation?" And she, big tears welled up in her eyes, and she started crying, "Preacher." And she said, "Brother Martin," she said, "I was raised in a preacher's home. My daddy was a preacher." She said, "But when I got to be a teenager, my dad did some things that were very bad. He got locked up, got put in prison. I got sent off to live with my grandma and grandpa." She said, "Grandma and grandpa were godly people." She said, "I started going to church with grandma and grandpa, but I got bitter. I got bitter because of the things that were going on and what had happened." And she said, "Man," and she knew the Bible. She could quote scripture. She could, but she said, "You know," she said, I got to the place where I just was so sick and tired of it all. I just wanted to do what I wanted to do." Now, what was she saying? "I wanted to follow what my heart's telling me." She said, "I ran off with a boyfriend at 17. Had my first child when I was 18 years old. Had another child by the time I was 19 years old." She said, "I was drinking. Started getting involved in drugs." She said, "My husband he would drink with me, but he didn't get involved in the drugs. And all of a sudden, he just put on the brakes and said, 'Whoa, we're not doing this.'" And he said, "I'm going to take off if you keep this up." And he ended up leaving her and taking the children. She said, I've been for 2 or 3 years now, I've been in a spiral." And she said, "You know what?" She said, "I knew." The only reason I told you this story is that this is what she said. She said, "I knew what was right. I just wanted to follow my heart." Boy, it gets you in a good place, doesn't it? Living a lifestyle that's a mess, a wreck, and drugging and drinking. And that's what comes when you start listening to your own heart. Yeah. You sit here and say, "I'd never do that, Brother Martin. I would never get..." You just take the first step. Just take the first step to listen to your heart, and you see where it ends up taking you. Second thing is simply this. When we begin listening to our own heart, the second thing is we stop listening to God. The second thing is this. We begin to let circumstances or others influence and lead us. What do you mean? When you start listening to your own heart, you're more susceptible and open to what other people are telling you and what the circumstances of life are bringing your way. You know, it says in Galatians chapter 5, 7, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you did not obey the truth? Be careful about following your own heart, because when you do, then you begin to listen to people, or you begin to do the things that you do based on the circumstances of life and what's happening and what's going on. That's a dangerous thing to do. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13 tells us there's no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. What are you saying? Hey, the temptations of life are going to be there. They're going to come. They're going to happen. But is this on? It is on. The temptations of life come. The hardships of life are going to be there. There's no way that you're going to get away from that. Affliction comes to everybody's life. But let me tell you something. Don't you start listening to your heart when things don't go exactly the way that you think it ought to go, man. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord. Stay close to God. How many people get away from the house of God, get away from the Word of God, get away from... This is what I've been trying to work with the college students about, man. Stay close to God. Why? So that you can listen to him and know his heart, not your own heart, not following what you want to follow. We need to be very careful, because when we begin listening to our own heart, we begin to let circumstances and other people influence in our life also. How about this? The next thing is, when we begin listening to our own heart, we start making our own plans. Man, how many times, preacher, have you, through the years as assistant pastor, how many times have you had somebody come in to quote-unquote counsel with you, but they say, well, you know what, I'm leaving. I know in my heart that this is what I'm supposed to do. When you go to seek counsel, let me give you a good piece of advice. Don't go tell people that you've already made your mind up you're going to do something. You ain't seeking counsel. You're just telling somebody what you're going to do. Amen, Brother Martin. That's good preaching. I like that. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying, boy, when you seek after counsel, your heart should be open to the man of God. I mean, God gives his man what you need, man. He puts him here in his stead to try to help you. Listen to him. Don't start making your own plans. What did he say here? He said that in this passage of Scripture that he was going to... there's nothing better for me than that I should do this thing, that I should go forward. And think about this. Look over in Psalm 139. Boy, this ought to be the prayer of every one of our hearts. Psalm 139, and the psalmist David. And I believe that he spoke these words out of a heart of experience about what he went through. And this is what he cried out. In verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Man, that ought to be the prayer of every one of our heart. God, please search my heart. God, know me, try me. God, keep me in the path that will be close to you, to follow you and do what you want, not what your heart's telling you to do. Proverbs 16:9, boy, there's a good verse there. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 9, it says this. I got this underlined in my Bible. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. That word deviseth there means to plot and contrive. A man's heart will plot and contrive the way that he goes. But, you know, the Proverbs is a book of contrast. But the Lord's the one who directs our path. So why are we trying to follow our heart and listen to our heart, man? Follow the one that directs us and leads us and guides us and the one who takes us where we go. I told the college students the other day, man, I love Isaiah 55 and verse 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. They're so much higher. You know, when things come into our life we don't understand, like David was going through here, that's not the time to start listening to your way. That's not the time to start listening to what your heart's telling you. Man, that's the time to just trust God when you don't understand it all. Amen. And follow it, follow him. Stay close to him. How about this? When we begin listening to our own heart, hey, we lose sight of and we forget all that God's been doing in our life. Man, God had been doing so much for David. Look back there in 1 Samuel 26 again. Look back there in 1 Samuel 26. Man, I could share so many stories with you. Now notice what it says there again in verse number 12. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they got them away, and no man saw it nor knew it, neither awaked, for they were all asleep because a deep sleep from the Lord was falling upon them. What do you mean? God was working even through this trial that he was going through. God was working through it. Man, when we start following and listening to our own heart, we'll forget about everything that the Lord's been doing in our life up to this point. Amen. He forgot about back just a couple chapters there, back in chapter 24, 1 Samuel chapter 24. This is what Saul said to him at the end of the chapter, verse 20. And now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Swear now therefore unto me by the Lord that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David sware unto Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men got them up into the hold. Saul told him at that point in time, he said, listen, I know you're going to be the king. I know this is going to happen and take place. Would you promise me that you won't cut me off, though? He forgot about all that. No, Saul's going to kill me. So, why? Because he was listening to his own heart. Boy, it's a dangerous thing to follow and to listen to our own heart. I shall now perish one day. Saul shall despair of me to seek me anymore. So shall I escape. And last thing is this. What happens when we begin listening to our own heart? We end up taking other people with us. We'll always take other people with us. No matter who you are, there's people watching you. You influence other people's lives. Every one of us that sit here. And when we decide to listen to our own heart, follow our own way, we take other people down that same pathway. David here in this passage of Scripture, if you remember what it says here, that, look what it says in verse chapter 27, 1 Samuel 27, verse 1 we read, but look at verse 2. It says, and David arose and he passed over with the 600 men that were with him unto Achish the son of Maach, king of Gath. He took 600 other men with him. He affected 600 other people's lives when he made the choice to listen to his own heart and follow what he wanted. You say, well, yeah, but everything worked out okay, didn't it? Well, yeah, until they came to chapter 30 and they came back to Ziklag and they found their city was burned with fire and they found that all of their wives and children and everybody was taken. They didn't know if they were alive or dead. And it tells us there in chapter 30 that David was greatly distressed because the people spake of stoning him to death. Why? Because he affected all of their lives by what he did. Amen. Parents, you better be careful about listening to your own heart. You better be careful about following what your heart's telling you to do. Man, so many times I've known people that have made decisions. People get disgruntled. They get disgruntled in church or whatever, and they say, you know what, Brother Ross, I'm going to leave. I'm going to go somewhere else. And man, I see the destruction that takes place. Why? Because you're not following God. You're following your heart because you're upset, because you're mad. Tell you one story real quick. There's a preacher friend of mine in a state in the Midwest. He had a young man in his church that had gotten saved, and the young man was married, had three children at the time, I believe, and he got saved and surrendered his life to the Lord. They have a Bible Institute, so he started, he felt like the Lord was calling him to preach, so he started going to the Bible Institute, and then he came to the preacher and said, hey, preacher, he said, you know, I just really feel like that maybe I ought to go off to Bible college. And the preacher, he said, let's pray about that, because, you know, you got three children already, and this is a big step, a big move. Be careful. And he said, let's pray about it for a few weeks. And they did. And then he met with him again. And he said, well, he said, preacher, this guy's name is Mike. And Mike said, preacher, I just really feel like that this is what I'm supposed to do. I just feel in my heart that I'm supposed to go ahead and go to Bible college. And he said, okay, I'll tell you what. He said, let's begin to pray. Here's some good Bible college. I'm going to give you some names of them. And he said, you search them out and let's pray about it. And come back and tell me what you feel, where the Lord wants you to go. So he did. He came back. He came back a week later and he told the preacher, he said, well, preacher, he said, I think I know where I'm going. And he said, where's that? And he named a Bible college. It was a Bible college that did not even believe what he'd been taught. Total, not total, but much different doctrine.
And he said, Mike, that's not a good decision. Mike, I don't think you ought to go there. This is what Mike said. Mike said, preacher, I know you may not like it, but I just know in my heart that's what I'm supposed to do. Well, he up and took off, and he went to that Bible college. You know, preacher wanted to help him and wanted to, but he went to the Bible college. He tried to communicate with him. He wouldn't communicate back with him. I think he made it through Bible college in 3 years. He'd had some college before, made it through Bible college in 3 years or whatever. And then the preacher here, and by the way, they had two other children while they were down there. And so they got five children now. And the preacher heard that they moved back to the area. And so he went to visit him and ask him what he was going to do and all that. I mean, the preacher's still wanting to reach out to him. And he said, I'm going to plant a church. I'm going to start a church. And he said, well, great, man. Where are you going to do it? And he told him, and it was like 3 miles from his home church. And he lived in a big city. He said, Mike, why would you do that? Mike, I want to help you. I want to encourage you. For you to start a church 3 miles from our church, man, this city is so big. We could reach out, and we could get into the city in areas where they really need it. No, preacher, I just know in my heart it's what I'm supposed to do. Well, of course, he had to work a job trying to get this church started. He was doing roofing. He was up on a second floor of a roof and fell off the roof. He fell off the roof. He busted himself up. I mean, literally, should have been dead. He broke both legs. He broke his pelvis. He broke all of his ribs on one side, punctured his spleen, punctured his lungs, punctured his liver. They didn't know if he was going to make it through it or not. Of course, you know who the first one was there to see him at the hospital, the preacher, trying to encourage him and his family. What can we do? Before he could even talk to Mike, talking to his wife, what can we do? How can we help you? They fed him. They cared for him. They did the things that they could do for him. Mike made it out of this. He started coming out of it. And, man, he just wept before the preacher. I'm so sorry, preacher. I shouldn't have done this. And the preacher said, you know what, that's done, that's in the past now. Let's just move forward. Well, about 3 or 4 weeks later, they actually they were going to put a hospital bed in the church, and they were going to convalescent him back and forth from home to the church so that he could at least be there for the services. I was there preaching, and Saturday night he got caught. Ambulance crew got called, took him back into the hospital. He was having some problems, some complications. And Monday morning, we were taking my wife to the airport. She was flying back home. I was staying there to preach for 2 more nights. And he got a phone call while we were at the airport. And his wife called him and said, would you please get to the hospital fast? I put my wife on the plane. He said, Brother Martin, will you go with me to the hospital? I said, sure, why? He said, Brother Mike just passed away. Now, this guy's 35 years old. He's got 5 kids. Brother Mike just passed away. He said, they've not told the children. His wife wants me to tell the children. And I'm telling you what, it is the toughest thing, preacher, that I think I've ever been through. I went in that room with him with those 4 little girls and 1 little boy. And we went in that room there, and he just tried to talk with me. He said, you know, Daddy's been sick. You know, Daddy's been going through some things. Yeah, we know Daddy's been real sick. He said, well, I want you to know that God healed Daddy today, and God took him home to heaven. And all 4 of those girls started screaming, crying. They're just sobbing and crying. That little boy was 5 years old. And that little boy was just staring and looking around. I'll never forget this till I die. He was looking around. He's staring. He's looking at the preacher. He's looking at his sisters. And he looks back at the preacher and just with a concerned heart looks at him and says, but preacher, when's he coming back? See, when you start listening to your own heart, you not only hurt yourself, but you hurt other people that are following after you too. Don't listen to your heart. How do I know the difference between the two? What I've been trying to teach the college all week long. Man, stay close to God. Inquire after the Lord. And follow the men of God's counsel in your life and direction in your life. Listen to the Spirit of God, not the heart of who you are. You all know Brother Fisher well. I want to leave one last thing with you here. Brother Fisher preached at our, you may have heard the message that he preached, but he preached at our camp meeting years ago in Gaylord. And he preached a message to the young people. He said, I want to preach this to all you that are 25 years and younger, stand up. He had him stand up. And he said, this message is for you. He said, I learned something just a few years ago that's helped me greatly. And I want to try to spare you a lot of heartache. And he said, it's a little prayer that I pray every morning when I get up now. And he said, that's what I want to preach on. And it's simply this. I pray every morning when I get up, Lord, please protect me from me. Lord, please protect me from me. And he went on and he told the story about how he was in church a few weeks before. And he said he was walking down the hallway and he was shaking hands with people in their church down there. And he said he saw one of his deacons coming and he went over there to shake hands with this deacon that was coming down the hallway there. And he said he wouldn't even look at me. It was like he just boxed me out and did not want to. And he said, I began to think right away, man, what's going on? What's the matter with him? He said, right away, my heart started thinking about and contemplating about this. He said, I began to think, you know what? He's mad at me about something. I wonder who else he's talked to. And he said, before I got to the pulpit, I had a conspiracy theory going on that there was a whole group in the church that was going to stand up against me and they were going to come to me and they were going to... He said, man, I couldn't even preach the way I should have preached that day. He said, I got done as soon as I could get done preaching. He said, I went right to that deacon and I said, listen, I got to talk to you. What is the matter? What's going on? He said, preacher, what are you talking about? He said, man, I came to you, preacher, and I came to you, brother, and I wanted to shake your hand, and you just looked away from me, and you just walked past me. And he goes, I don't know what you're talking about, preacher. I didn't see you. Now, this is the thing here. This is what I want you to remember. Perception is seldom reality. Good little thought to write down. Perception is seldom reality. Everything isn't always the way we think it is. So many times we talk ourselves into things. We get ourselves, hey, was that reality for David to say that Saul was going to kill him one day? Absolutely not. God had already promised him he's going to take care of him. He already promised him he was going to be the king. I mean, that was just a perception that he had, but it wasn't reality. Amen. You know, sometimes we'll get mad at a brother or sister, and we'll think, you know what, they're mad at me. They're upset with me. You don't know what's going on in their heart, man. Don't try to read things into other people's minds and hearts. So many times we perceive things that are not actually even there. Amen. Gets us in a whole lot of trouble. Causes us to listen to and follow our heart, which leads us down a pathway of destruction. What are you saying, Brother Martin? I'm just saying tonight, don't listen to what the world tells you. Oh, just follow your own heart. Just listen to what your own heart's telling you. No, you better listen to the heart of God. You better listen to the Word of God. You better listen to the Spirit of Almighty God. You better listen to the men of God that He places in your life. Because if not, you're going to head yourself down a pathway of heartache and despair. And not only that, you're going to take children with you. You're going to influence other church members. You're going to affect other people too. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heads bowed, eyes closed.